And with that, I'd like to prepare for our service by reading from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35. The parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them about using the parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. We welcome Josh to come up to share. Okay. Father God, we thank you so much for Josh's willingness to come and share your word with us. From his mouth to our hearts and our minds, Lord, may we be centered and focused on you. Be with Josh as he shares this morning. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, thank you, Beth, for reading our scripture and the invitation to be with you this morning. It's good to be together with the people of God. It's always good to be together with the people of God. I find myself in this stage and season of life having the opportunity to guest preach in lots of different congregations all across the area. And it's always a joy for me to do that because it's always a joy to be together with the people of God. But especially, it is such a blessing to be in so many different churches, different congregations, in different places, worshiping in different ways, different songs, different expressions of worship, but all worshiping the same God. It's really encouraging for me to be here. So thank you for allowing me to be part of your worship this morning. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like a mustard seed. And then as you heard, he goes on to tell one of his shortest parables, a mere two sentences long, this parable of the mustard seed. And yet, in these two sentences, I would suggest we learn something important about who God is and who we are called to be. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. I found myself drawn to this parable a lot recently. In fact, really, the last couple of years, I find myself returning again and again to this story, to this parable. And I think part of the reason for that is this deep longing to see the kingdom of God break through. I mean, think about everything that we've experienced over the last number of years. There's political turmoil, economic uncertainty, social unrest, denominational drama, growing sense of discord and distrust among people, wars and conflicts and violence globally. I mean, in the midst of everything that we have experienced in the last number of years, I think we would all agree we could use some more of the kingdom of God in our world. We could use more of the kingdom of God in our communities. We could use more of the kingdom of God in our lives. And so parables like this one from Jesus, I just think, are particularly significant right now. What does the kingdom of God look like? What does the rule and the reign of God look like in our midst? And how can we experience more of that? How can we participate more fully in this kingdom that Jesus comes to inaugurate? Well, I think we see a lot of things in the parable that we read today. We'll focus this morning on just two aspects of the kingdom based on this parable. What does the parable of the mustard seed teach us about size? And what does it teach us about welcome? So that's kind of what I want us to invite us to think about today, size and welcome. So first up, size. A mustard seed, as you know, is quite small. Jesus even describes it that way. He says, though it is the smallest of all your seeds. One commentator I read this week puts it like this. He said, one of the things Jesus is doing here is teaching his disciples not to be hypnotized by size. The parable of the mustard seed teaches us not to be hypnotized by size. I don't know about you, but at least for me, that is a good reminder. That is something I need to hear and be reminded of and check myself on often. Because we live in a world, we live in a culture that is in many ways preoccupied with size. Right? In subtle ways, and sometimes not so subtle ways, the message of our world is that bigger is better, and that we can evaluate the importance or the significance of something based on its size. What's the square footage of your house? What's your stock portfolio look like right now? What kind of trips and vacations are you taking with your family? How big's your TV? How big's your truck? How big's your church? How big's your social media platform? Right? How many flowers do you got? According to our world, bigger is better in all of those things and practically everything that we find value in. And yet Jesus here says, yeah, actually, the kingdom of heaven is more like a mustard seed. I think that's worth paying attention to. Because this idea that bigger is better, I think can at times creep in even to the way we think about our faith. If we're not careful, we will slowly view what it means to follow Jesus through the lens of size. Right? And so the danger or the temptation in that is that we would focus so much on doing great things for God. Right? We want to do grand things for the kingdom. And that is a well-intentioned impulse. But when we become so focused on doing grand things in the name of Jesus, we can actually end up missing the small, everyday opportunities we have for faithfulness. I think it's actually possible to allow a desire to do great things paralyze us from doing the small things that are right in front of us. Maybe one of the messages of this parable is that sometimes the greatest thing you can do for God is the smallest act of obedience and faithfulness. Pastor and author Eugene Peterson puts it like this. He says, it is the unnoticed, invisible moments of Christ in us that become the forests and banquets of his kingdom. We often look for the dramatic moment when we can engage in a glorious sacrifice for the faith. God keeps presenting us with daily opportunities for belief and obedience and hope. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It advances through the small, insignificant, faithful obedience of ordinary people who have been transformed by Christ and who do small things with great love. I think this is why Mother Teresa says this: we can do no great things, only small things with great love. So I would invite you, as we think about this aspect of the mustard seed, as you think about what it means for you to follow Jesus today, what it means for you to follow Jesus this coming week, consider these questions. What insignificant, invisible obedience can I engage in today? What small thing can I do with great love so that God's kingdom might be on display? I think those are questions worth considering. And then Jesus continues. Listen to how he finishes the parable. He says the mustard seed is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Now, for most of my life, when I read this parable and I read that last line about the birds perching in the branches, I always thought that was just another way of talking about size, right? Look how big the tree gets. It starts as this really small seed, but it eventually grows to a point that it's big enough for a bird to perch in it. I always thought this last part was also just about size. Turns out there's something more going on here. See, at the time that Jesus tells this parable, there was actually already another common and well-known phrase and image among the Hebrew people of this time. They said that when God rules the world, it will be like huge cedar trees. That was the image. God's rule and reign is like cedar trees. And in those cedar trees, eagles will perch in the branches. Okay, before Jesus, that's how people talked about the reign of God. The biggest, most powerful trees you can imagine. And in those trees, the biggest, most majestic bird you can imagine, eagles. That's what God's reign is like, power, majesty. Jesus comes along and he does something interesting. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he takes that well-known image and he flips it a little bit. He says, you know what? The kingdom of God, it's not so much like huge cedar trees. It's like a mustard plant. And it's not these majestic eagles perching in the branches. It's birds perching in the branches. And the word he uses for birds is a very interesting word. It's a specific word. In Greek, it's the word petanon. It doesn't just mean birds. It means wild birds. So these are not the mighty eagles that perch in trees. There was a word for that. Instead, Jesus uses a word which refers to wild, often dirty, detestable birds. The kind of birds people tried to get rid of. This word refers to the birds that eat the carcasses of other animals. Right? These are birds that people didn't want around. Farmers put up scarecrows to get rid of these kinds of birds. They were unwanted, detestable kinds of animals. And yet Jesus says, in the kingdom of God, even the unwanted and undesirable will find a home. Even those animals, even those birds, even those people who feel unworthy, they have a place in the kingdom of God. Even those people who have been told in a thousand ways all the reasons why they don't measure up, they have a place in the kingdom of God. Even those people who have been through experiences that make them feel broken and beat up and like damaged goods, they have a place in the kingdom of God. Jesus, in this story, makes it clear that God's kingdom, God's mercy, God's grace is for everyone, including those on the margins, including those on the outside, including those who other people try to keep away. So I would just say to us here this morning, if you're here today and you have ever wondered, could God really love someone like me? Could God really accept someone like me, really forgive someone like me, really welcome someone like me? Man, the answer is a resounding yes. The kingdom of God is for everyone, no exceptions. In the parable of the mustard seed and the birds perching in the branches, we see that God's kingdom is for everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through right now. God's welcome is for you. I think for some of us, that is a message we need to be reminded of, the welcome of God is open and available to all. So let me give you an example. I want to share a story with you that helps to illustrate this. It's one thing for me to say those things, but I think as we hear stories and see examples, it kind of brings these concepts to life. So I want to share a story with you. It's a fairly well-known story. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you have actually heard this story already. But this is one of those stories that I think is helpful to hear again and to be reminded of every so often. It's a story that comes from a former professor of mine, Dr. Tony Campolo. He's a well-known pastor, author, theologian. So he tells the following story. He would sometimes go to Hawaii to speak at conferences in Hawaii. And so anytime he would go to Hawaii, because of the time difference, he would find himself wide awake at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Felt like 9 o'clock his time. 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd be wide awake, and he would be hungry for breakfast. The problem is, there were no restaurants open at 3 o'clock in the morning. So on one occasion, he says, I'm wandering the streets of Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning, trying to find a place where I can get some breakfast. Finally, up a little side street, he found a kind of an old diner that was still open. He went into the diner, and he took a seat at the counter, and he said to the guy behind the counter, "You know, can I get a donut and some coffee?" And so he's sitting there eating his donut, drinking his coffee, and 3:30 in the morning, in walked a group of 7 or 8 loud, provocative, boisterous prostitutes. They had just finished their evening of work, and they come into this diner. Tony says, it's a small place, and they're sitting like on either side of me, kind of all around me. The talk was loud and crude. He said, I felt very uncomfortable. Tried to finish my donut and coffee as quick as possible so I could get out of there. He said he was just about to make his exit when he heard the person sitting next to him say to the person sitting next to her, yeah, tomorrow's my birthday. I turn 39 tomorrow. And the person 2 stools down responded in just kind of like a mean, harsh fashion, like, that's so what? Like, what do you want me to do, throw you a birthday party? Who cares? It's your birthday. Tony says the woman next to him was like, no, like, why do you got to be so mean? I'm not expecting you to throw me a party. I was just telling you, that's all. I've never had a birthday party my whole life. Why should I expect one now? I was just telling you. Tony said at that moment, he made a decision. He ordered another cup of coffee, waited until everybody had finished their meals and left. And then he said to the guy behind the counter, he said, hey, do these women come in here every night? The guy says, yeah, they come in here every night. So he said, the woman who is sitting right here next to me, does she come in here every night? The guy says, yeah, that's Agnes. She comes in here every night. Why do you want to know? So he said, well, I just heard her say that tomorrow is her birthday. What do you say we throw her a birthday party here in the diner tomorrow night when she finishes? Guy kind of got a slow smile on his face, and he said, yeah, you know, that's a good idea. And he calls his wife, who works in the back, and he says, hey, come out here. This guy's got an idea. He wants to throw a birthday party for Agnes tomorrow. And the wife got like a big smile. She said, oh, that's a great idea. She said, Agnes is one of those, she's such like a nice, sweet person. Nobody ever does anything for her, but I think that's a great idea. So Tony says, all right, here's the deal. I'll come back at 2:30 tomorrow. I'll decorate the place. I'll even get some cake. The guy behind the counter is like, no, I'm a cook or I'm a chef. I'll bake the cake. So Tony's going to decorate. The guy's going to bake the cake. And the wife is going to kind of get the word out to some other folks. So Tony says he gets back there the next day, 2:30 in the morning. He's got crepe paper. He's got decorations. He's got cardboard. And he puts up, happy birthday, Agnes. It's funny to hear him tell the story because he said, I had that place looking good. 3:15, the place is swarming with prostitutes. The lady whose job was to get the word out, she must have done a good job, Tony says. He said, it was every prostitute in Honolulu was in there. He said it was wall-to-wall prostitutes in me. 3:30 on the dot, door swings open, Agnes and her friend walk in the door.
Tony's got them all queued up. And as she walks in, they all say, "Surprise! Happy birthday!" He says, "I've never seen a person so shocked, so flabbergasted, so stunned." Her knees buckled. Her friend walks her over to the counter. As they finish singing, "Happy birthday, dear Agnes. Happy birthday to you." He says there's tears in her eyes as they finish singing the song. Then when the guy behind the counter brings out the cake, candles and all, she just lost it. She full on, open crying. Guy behind the counter is like, "Yo, Agnes, blow out the candles. Come on, Agnes, blow out the candles. You're going to start dripping wax. If you don't blow them out, I'm going to blow them out for you." And she can't, so he does. He blows out the candles. And then he gives her a knife, and he's like, "Agnes, cut the cake." And she's just kind of sitting there. He's like, "Yo, Agnes, come on, cut the cake. We all want some cake, Agnes." And finally, Agnes spoke, and she said, "Is it all right if I just keep it for a while? Never had a cake before. Never had my own birthday cake. Is it okay if I just keep it?" Guy behind the counter is like, "Well, it's your cake. Do what you want with it. Take it home if you want." She says, "Really? Could I?" And then she turns to Tony. She says, "I live just a few doors down. I want to take it home and show my mom." So she gathers up the cake. And then, like, carrying it like the Holy Grail, she walks out the door. As the door shuts behind her, Tony says, the entire place is just stunned silence. And finally, Tony breaks the silence and he says, "What do you say we pray?" So he does. He prays for her. He says, looking back, it's kind of an odd situation for a preacher from Philadelphia to be leading a prayer meeting at 3:30 in the morning with a bunch of prostitutes in Honolulu, but that's how God works sometimes. So he says he prayed for her. He prayed that God would bless her. He prayed for her salvation. He prayed that she would know who she is in God's eyes. And when he finishes the prayer, the guy behind the counter pulls him over and says, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of preacher are you? What kind of church are you a part of?" And Tony said, "In one of those moments where just the right words came, I said, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." The guy said, "No, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was a church like that, I'd join it." Tony finishes by saying, "Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all love to join a church like that? Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all love to be part of a church like that?" Friends, that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's the kingdom that we are invited to participate in. This kingdom is for everyone, regardless of circumstances, regardless of background, regardless of what people have gone through. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of kingdom Jesus comes to inaugurate. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It advances through the small, insignificant, faithful obedience of ordinary people who have been transformed by Christ and do small things with great love. And it is a kingdom that is available to everyone, no exceptions. So may our lives, may your life reflect the mustard seed-like nature of God's kingdom. Amen? Let me pray. God, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be part of your kingdom. Please remind us, God, of the good news that Jesus is for everyone. And help us to be aware not only of big opportunities to serve you, but also of the small opportunities we have for belief and obedience and hope. We pray these things in the name of Christ, the one in whom we find life and hope, and meaning, and purpose. And together, everybody said,